go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It's a minute past the hour on this, the 25th day of August, 2015. This program is live if you're listening at 6.01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 3.01 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time or God only knows where or what time it is, but you get the idea. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. We will have another rollicking, good-time multimedia extravaganza in there this evening, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Good evening, Jug of Punch and Texas Tea. We're off and running. You know, I got to think about it. I got to get a drumstick for the cowbell. Maybe we can do a free-form Don't Fear the Reaper some evening. I know that it's kind of the cadence is kind of complex, but maybe we could work through it. Let's see. Of course, it didn't go up the last time, so this is going to be kind of meaningless. But my apologies. I think I've screwed up the podcast somehow or another. I tried re-uploading it last night, or I uploaded it last night immediately after the program. Then I uploaded it again today. I don't know if it's working yet. If it's not, my apologies. Damn it. And I'll have to go back through and see if I can find my coding error. Boy. Yeah. But anyway, so hopefully I won't screw it up twice. But that's the fun thing with HTML code errors. They kind of build on each other. Yeah. So here it is. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and some updating to do. We closed the program last night. Really? Is it going to be like that tonight? Damn it. We closed the program last night. Down 152.37. And in the meantime, that has been reduced somewhat. Yes. Which is very, very helpful. So that we don't have a $352.37 fundraising goal for this evening. And let's see. Carry the 19. Yeah. Seriously, thank you to For the Earthy. She took it down to 142.37, and Paul took it down to 122.37. Asa took it down to 112.37. Yes, 112.37. And we've also made significant progress on the equipment fund. We have we've actually reached the threshold, the $4,500 threshold. And if we can keep it going by any small degree, there are two things that are going to get done. One, we will try to fix the old Comrex phone system, and two, three things, actually. A microphone. Basically, the whole purpose here is replacing things that are a little bit sketchy or dodgy after 10 years of broadcasting. So, microphone, try to upgrade one of the computer systems to 64-bit and bump the RAM so it'll work a little bit better in the process alongside the MacBook Pro. And fix the Comrex. So, thank you, one and all. We're pretty much there. And anything extra, well, we'll go precisely to those three necessary items. Because when we get to the point where we can start filling in for Malloy, it would be nice to sound as good as we possibly can. Okay? Yeah. So, 3:12:37. $312.37 is the fundraising goal for this evening, and thank you to everyone who has made that, who helped us get out of what was obviously a much more significant hole. And so that leaves us wondering where we go for this here Titanic Tuesday. You may recall that Titanic Tuesday is named in honor of the right-wing blathering moron, Steve, who, upon taking a call from his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, answered, Steve, how come you reckon it is they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowheres near the ocean. To which he replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Yeah, our buddy Jim heard this some years back. And Tuesdays became Titanic Tuesdays in their honor. No word yet. No word whatsoever on the Titanic barbecue tongs. No. So we reserve Titanic Tuesdays for particularly idiotic examples of attempts at intellect among right-wingers. And God knows, we are never found wanting for them. Oh, no. No, no. Let's see. Let's start out, shall we? Why not? Let's start out in Talabama. Recently, having played host to a few thousand T-Rump fans down at a football stadium in a place in South Alabama referred to frequently by members of the for-profit media as Mobile. No, they really do. Mobile. Just like the company that got merged with Exxon, Mobile. And, of course, it never makes, well, Mobile. And it comes from, actually, it's not the English word mobile, as in automobile. It comes from a native word, something like Maubla, or Maubila, a famous battle, the site of which no one knows anymore, a famous battle between the indigenous peoples and Hernan de Soto's army, almost had them wiped out. But they got away. Yeah. No, but anyway, that's where T-Rump spoke, in the mispronounced city of Mobile, Alabama. But we're not talking about Mobile, Alabama this evening. We're talking about Boaz, Alabama. Yeah. And Boaz is not a big place. Everybody knows everybody in Boaz. And of all things, it has to do with cheerleading practice. It's August, and they take their sports very seriously in Talabama. And so since yet football season coming, that means you got cheerleading season coming. And it's hard athletic work. One of the volunteer cheerleading coaches is Kaylee Tipton. And she showed up at practice for the Boaz Youth Cheerleaders to find the team's assistant vice president, Brian McCracken, and his buddy, Brian McDowell. They just call them the Bryans. No, they don't. Wearing some special T-shirts. Yeah. Brian McCracken was wearing a T-shirt that featured a Klansman in full hood and robe in front of a burning cross emblazoned with the words, "The Original Boys in the Hood." You get it? Boys in the Hood. You're not laughing either? Good, I feel better because I didn't exactly guffaw at it either, despite the fact that they say that, hell, it was just a joke. And it was a joke because Brian McDowell, Brian McCracken's buddy, Brian McDowell was wearing him a black T-shirt that just had the words "White Pride" splashed across it with a kind of a crimson underscore. Mm-hmm. Kaylee Tipton objected, and she was told that she can no longer be a volunteer cheerleading coach because she objected. Commissioner Kenny Jones of the Boaz Youth Cheerleading Team said, I ended up taking care of the situation by telling the parents they ain't allowed to wear that type of shirt to any NAYF function. We have zero tolerance for any kind of discriminatory apparel or anything. But Vice President for Boaz Cheer, Melinda McCracken, was right there at practice when Kaylee Tipton showed up and told her volunteer work was no longer required because you tattled on Brian for wearing his favorite Klan T-shirt. So, what a lovely way to begin Titanic Tuesday. Right? Yeah. Okay, we have a request coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, I'd like to petition the horn to change Titanic Tuesday in honor of that Titanic intellect with the dead animal on his head to Trump Tuesday. Oh, I don't know. That'll have to be read at three successive Titanic Tuesdays, Brother Deacon Asa, and be voted on by the entire Horn Family Commune congregation, and we will have to have a two-thirds supermajority in order for it to pass. Otherwise, it would just, you know, just be chaos. I mean, atonal music, riots. Yeah. No, it's gonna be a lovely, lovely, lovely Titanic Tuesday. You may recall that last evening we had the story of the good-humored fraternity brothers of Old Dominion University who put up some nasty banners like rowdy and fun, hope your baby girl is ready for whatever, and freshman girl drop off at the door and drop mom off too, right? Well, naturally, the story had to be taken up by the panel at Outnumbered over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where, of course, they got it wrong. Oh, really? Kennedy Montgomery is one of the hosts, and, well, they all opined. Let's just say they opined. Okay, here they are opining.
Hello and welcome back to Outnumbered. Some people may have seen it as a big joke, but it ended up getting some members of one college fraternity in big trouble. The Sigma Nu chapter at Old Dominion University in Virginia suspended by its national office as it investigates the chapter for hanging sexually suggestive banners from the front porch of its off-campus housing. Banners that said things like, rowdy and fun, hope your baby girl is ready for a good time. And, well, there's this from the Ohio State University. Seniors in off-campus housing not affiliated with any fraternity with signs that said, quote, dads, we'll take it from here, end quote. Daughter daycare 2.0.
Wow.
Oh, my sweet Lord. Hard for me to imagine what I would do because my girls are too young by half to attend university at this point.
Mine too.
But how does this make you feel when you see these signs?
Oh, I'm so excited. Andrea Tarantula's on the couch, too. So this is good. Truly, this will be a Titanic segment on the program. Yay. Hooray. But no, Kennedy Montgomery, how does it make you feel?
Girls are the same ages, and in planning ahead, I would just say that our work is cut out for us, Kennedy.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got to get them ready for the real world. Because the real world is that these guys are teenagers and earlies in their 20s, and they're probably drunk when they're writing those signs.
And this is like Zebediah, whatever her name is. Yeah,
they're just having a good time, and it is up to that house leader, that man on campus to come over, that leader to say, take the stuff down, I don't appreciate this. But the wording is not what we ought to take exception to. It's the action. So to say that this is causing the action, I think is a little bit of a leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And to tie it to some sort of campus-wide.
I'm offended by the signs, but I'm more offended by the actual sexual assault. Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
I'm more offended by the actual sexual assault and the presumption that somebody might be in harm's way. I think they have to deal with that part of it. And if the signs are instigating it, then I can understand it. But I'd go for that first. You don't think girls will go to those parties?
That's what I'm saying. Stop with like the who's going to condemn this? Who's going to show up and kick their... It's fine if a parent does it. That's fine.
I know a few girls who might have gone when I was in college.
Really? I don't know who you were hanging out with, Harris.
But
my friends
and
I, we would never have gone to that house. We would have been like, what idiots. Clearly, they can't even get girls to come over, so they have to hang signs like
that. That's why I didn't go to college until I was 28 years old. Until someone could afford a decent bottle of Pinot Noir.
And you were pregnant. Harris does bring up a point. Girls will still, if they're a good fraternity, sign or no sign, they will show up at these fraternity houses. They don't care. If there's hot boys, that's where girls are going to go.
Let me give you an example. Ray Rice in the NFL. How many women were still wearing his jersey after we all had seen the video and knew what was going on?
There's going to be girls that are going to go to these parties. Not every single girl. They're not going to unionize and not go. It's just a fact of life.
I know, but
however, these signs are really they're disgusting.
This is revolting.
And the university has to take a stand on this because of what's going on with rape culture.
Yeah.
The university has to stand up and say if something happens at that house,
maybe they could bring in Eric Holder to run Old Dominion University like the Black Panthers. Yeah, there's your great moments in wisdom with Andrea Tarantula. Yes, absolutely.
We cannot be responsible, but not even that. It's PR. They have to protect the brand of Old Dominion University. They cannot hang signs like this. I'm sorry, guys. First Amendment.
Okay, can I just say that some of it is, and of course, I don't condone what's on those signs. I think...
You know, it's not going to be good when she starts, I don't condone it, but... Oh, dear.
That, you know, that's really the age where you perform most of your jackassery is in your late teens and early 20s,
certainly. True.
But I think part of it is a backlash that these guys are feeling about being, you know, told that they are predators. And, you know, I think oftentimes you see the pendulum swing the opposite way.
I bet you these clowns didn't give that
two minutes of thought. I think these guys are just boorish. I think their parents should, again, kick them in the ass, and it should be followed after the administrators do, because they're boors. And by the way, a little too cavalier with this stuff. It sounds like
they're focusing on keeping the women safe.
You know, that would solve it. That would solve it right there. Some good old-fashioned Merkin parent-on-kid violence. They need to be kicked in the ass there. Yeah. They need to get kicked in the ass, and the administration needs to kick them in the ass, and mom and dad need to kick them in the ass, and everybody needs to kick them in the ass, because ass-kicking is what makes America great, along with the guns and the guns and God and ass-kicking.
I agree. I don't have to worry about that.
That's one way you do it. A little tough punishment.
My young ladies, my daughters are going to go to a convent.
I'm
going to
teach them at home. In the kitchen.
We're going to live in the desert, and we're going to be Bedouins, and it's going to be great.
What's Edith? We're going to live in the desert. We're going to be Bedouins. It's going to be great. She does know the religion of the Bedou. I trust. Well, there'll be some backlash for this. Get that Muslim lover off of Fox! Oh. And Zebediah's gonna keep her children home in the kitchen. Maybe they can make sandwiches for Andrea Tarantula's husband. I can't conceive what it must be like to just turn on the TV box and have it sit there on Fox for hours and hours and hours a day. When does the actual putrefaction and liquefaction of the brain begin? I mean, is it one of those things like cocaine or heroin where the first dose can kill you? Or is it a slow process over time where you start out watching it and you think, well, I don't know if I... And a couple of days later, you're sitting there, yeah, you know what, you're probably persecuting them poor fun-loving boys there at the Old Dominion University. Remember, you can't spell Old Dominion without dumb. Really? So glad that Fox has our back. Yeah. And then, so we were in Talabama for a minute. It's not very far over to Mississippi, Stan. Oak Grove Middle School is in, no, really, Purvis, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. The Lamar County School District has now received a letter from the American Humanist Association's Opignani Humanist Legal Center. Why? Because an 8th grade math teacher there at Oak Grove Middle School in Purvis, yes, Lamar County, Mississippi, has a display up, a board on which children are supposed to put their prayer requests. Mm-hmm. Went up last year. Randy Rogers is the teacher, and she harangued a student for taking a picture of the prayer request board and said she was disrespecting her Christian faith. Randy Rogers, 8th grade math teacher at Oak Grove Middle School in Purvis, Mississippi, refuses to take down the board, and she says that even if she's forced to remove the word prayer from it, she will continue to display the names of students for whom she is praying. Huh. I wonder if the kids who get prayed for get better math grades in 8th grade from Ms. Rogers. when the kid took a picture of the prayer request board, she told the kid,
well, if you object to the board, you can sit further away from it.
And once again, of course, we will hear cries from the white-wing evangelical fundamentalists that they're being persecuted for believing in sweet little baby Jeebus.
Jerks.
Monica Miller is a lawyer at the Opignani Humanist Legal Center. She said numerous cases affirm that public school teachers who pray or promote prayer in class are violating the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. This instance is particularly egregious because the teacher seems to realize that her actions are illegal, but she insists upon displaying the prayer board and taking prayer requests. The legal center has asked that no other unmarked place in the room be understood to list prayer requests and teachers not use their classrooms to take prayer requests or otherwise advance religion. Wonder how those God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christ-centered Christians, wonder how they'd feel if maybe a Muslim said, I pray to Allah every day for you that you can be healed of your infidelity. Marty pointing out that he says there will be howls from the black fundies as well. I think you can be African American and still be part of white wing evangelical fundamentalism. Marty says, I wonder if the prayer requests increase around exam time. Marty also says, can we get a belated Moran Monday for one former pitcher, Curt Schilling, now suspended from ESPN, for tweeting a photo likening Muslims with Nazis and then not having the honesty to leave it there, and also not being too stupid to realize the Nazis were Christians just like him? And he thinks he's not in baseball's Hall of Fame because he's a Repiglick. And personally, I think he's not, and hopefully never will be, enshrined in Cooperstown because he's an asshole. Yeah, but Marty, see the problem there, and I think the nomination, we'll take the nomination and let it stand. The problem is, being an asshole is not sufficient to keep one out of Cooperstown. Witness the presence of one Ty Cobb. Quite possibly the biggest jackass, vicious, hateful, mean, nasty human being ever to play the game. In a game that had more than its fair share, especially before the color line was broken. Mm-hmm. Nasty. Just nasty. Yeah, lots of potential. What if Ms. Rogers is Methodist, and that does that? How well does she pray for the Catholics? Is her first prayer that they will give up their Mary worshiping? But she insists that she will not remove it, will not take it down. And this she considers to be a matter of standing up for her faith. Now, she worships the most powerful deity in the universe, the only deity in the universe, according to Christianity. Sort of. I mean, there's the devil and demons and stuff, but they're not full-on gods. They're just, I don't know. Hell, I don't know. But that deity is not strong enough to protect itself. Meanwhile, you may recall But a couple of days ago, it was Friday, wasn't it, when we had the account of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, Canadian-born Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, at the Iowa State Fair, miraculously holding a pork burger in one hand and defending Christianity at the same time, and which proved to be just a wonder among wonders, to a member of the for-profit media. How can this be? What does it say about America that you can do that? Remember? Well, I mentioned this story because, no, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday, but it explains it in its own weird way. It explains a little bit about why Randy Rogers, 8th grade middle school math teacher at Oak Grove Middle School in Purvis, Mississippi, is behaving the way she does. There at the Iowa State Fair, Ellen Page, essentially accused him of being un-American in his in the fact that he's okay with the with LGBTQ people being fireable for their sexual orientation. Yeah. So Newsmuck interviewed him later that day after he got his ass handed to him by Ellen Page. Paranoia will destroy you, right? There, The Hard Line with Ed Berliner. I think they're using the same music that the Onion News Network uses, aren't they? No, really, Ed Berliner. Ich bin nicht ein Berliner. Mm-mm, not that one. The Hard Line! Yeah. Get the hockey.
There is perhaps no Republican candidate who garners such passion on the hard issues than Ted Cruz. Granted, Donald Trump rules the polls and the roost these days, but when Cruz speaks, he draws a sizable crowd, as he did last week in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Rally for Religious Liberty. A packed house was there to drink in all the candidate's ideas and promises for when he is elected president.
A packed house was there to drink? Will they sell beer at the Iowa State Fair? Well, I think if I was standing there listening to Ted Cruz, I think I'd pretty much have to be liquored up. Yeah.
We were there for an exclusive one-on-one with the candidate, an interview you will see pieces of all week, only here on The Hard Line. Let's begin with what happened earlier that day, when actress and LGBT supporter Ellen Page sought to knock the senator off his game in public, and in the end, she didn't make a dent.
We are here at a rally for religious liberty, yes. And oddly enough, on this day, you had quite a little tete-a-tete, if you will, with Ellen Page, the actress, who decided that she was going to come after you and talk about LGBT, which is, again, part of the religious liberty argument that we're in here right now.
There are 11 states LGBT people can be fired for just being gay or for just being trans. That's totally legal. I mean, how do you feel about that? That just doesn't sound very American to me.
You know, at the end of the day, what we should not be doing is persecuting people. So, for example, one of the couples... No, for living according to their faith. So, for example... All right, I'm happy to answer your question, but not to have a back-and-forth debate.
How do you then make people understand that religious liberty is about religion, about people who want to celebrate?
I don't know. That's going to be a pretty tough sell, Ed Berliner of The Hard Line, explaining to people that religious liberty is about religion, liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. Oh, this, I am not familiar, I must admit. I am not familiar with Ed Berliner of The Hard Line. But, we may have to keep an eye on him. This guy's got a titanic intellect. Really? That was really the question, was it?
Did I hear that right? Yeah? Did I?
People understand that religious liberty is about religion, about people who want to celebrate their religion, but at the same time, not making it seem as if you, the GOP, anybody else, is against homosexuals or the LGBT community. How do you do that?
Yeah, really? Oh, that is a hard line, Ed Berliner. Because, see, the easy short answer is, well, we lie. Because the GOP is, in terms of the base that controls it, the evangelical, fundamentalist, Bible-believing, upstanding, Christ-centered Christians, they do. They hate the gay community. I mean, they despise them. With the heat of a million suns, they hate them. Because they love their Jeebus, who was a guy who always hung out with other guys and wouldn't get married. They hate the gays. So the short answer is, well, Ed Berliner, here at the hard line, I'll have to tell you that we'll just have to lie to America. No. This is, after all, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, proud son of Canada. He's yours. He's yours. I'm sorry. I know. Hey, Bob, ixnay with the Anita K and the Ed K Cruz. No, he's yours. He's a Canadian fascist.
Well, you know, Ed, I don't think it's likely that a whole lot of Hollywood celebrities are going to get behind my campaign anytime soon. So that was not a big surprise that she and I had some disagreements there.
That wasn't the question there, Canada Ted. It was, how are you going to get people to vote? How are you going to get people to vote for a bunch of religious freaks who are largely defined not by who they are for, but who they are against?
You know, I think religious liberty is actually an issue that brings us together, that cuts across racial lines and ethnic lines. And so
it does. It cuts. You might recall it in yesterday's program. We noted that it was the anniversary of the Medici massacre of the Huguenot. They cut a lot of lines there. Uh-huh. They cut some arms and some legs and some torsos and some necks and throats and heads. Religion brings us together in bonding up and standing one with another, shoulder to shoulder, to tell the world who we despise and who needs to die.
Socioeconomic lines and party lines. And the purpose of this rally tonight in Iowa is to tell the stories. You know, an awful lot of folks in the media, an awful lot of folks in Hollywood, they dismiss the assault on religious liberty. They say it isn't real.
Mainly because it's not. They're not. How many today? Yesterday? How many in the last week, the last month? How many churches have been boarded up by order of the liberal government? Big government. How many churches has that Kenyan Muslim socialist that lives in our White House, how many has he destroyed with his Kenyan mind laser? None? Really? That's what I was afraid of. He's even more sneaky than we thought. He's closing churches without closing churches. Religious liberty is under attack in America. Ed Berliner of the Hard Line.
This gathering tonight brings heroes from across the country who have been persecuted for standing up for their faith, and it lets them tell the story. So,
well, heroes. They're heroes. You refuse to, you're a bigot who refuses to bake a goddamn wedding cake, and suddenly you're the same, you're on the same level as somebody storming the beaches at Normandy. Well, howdy do.
Hero. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Hero.
For example, Dick and Betty Odegaard. They're here from Iowa, from Grimes, Iowa. Wonderful couple that I've gotten to know quite well. And Betty own an historic Lutheran church. And for a number of years, Dick and Betty hosted weddings in their churches. And they had a business where they'd do catering and they'd do flowers and they'd put...
Sorry. Bell and Dominion speak for a minute there. They own a Lutheran church? You can do that? They own. And they use it for... Didn't he say they have a business? Yes. And they did caterings and weddings? I know. He does a little bit without the... He needs a little bit more drawl, a little bit more cornpone to it. But he sounds like Mr. Haney when he speaks. Yes, Carol, he does. Marty noting, Robin, holy word salad, Batman! Yeah. And up in New York, Steve, with a note. Shouldn't the fundies be refusing to serve Jews? Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others, blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside may also be clean. Let's not go down that road. Back to Raphaelito. Canadian Raphaelito. Not that there's anything wrong with being Canadian. I just want to make it clear that this freak is yours, not ours. I mean, we're responsible for a lot of freaks. Not this one, though. Oh, no. Y'all let Rafael Eduardo Cruz into your country from Cuba. Wasn't us.
On the weddings. Well, a couple of years ago, two men came to them and wanted to have a same-sex wedding. Now, Dick and Betty are both devout Mennonites.
Okay, this is getting more confusing. Dick and Betty are devout Mennonites who own a Lutheran church. I thought God owned the churches, but... yeah, all the churches are businesses. Good business. Tax-free business. Mm-hmm. Just little siphons sucking away at the commons and promoting hatred.
And so they very politely, they respectfully said that they couldn't host a homosexual wedding in the church they own because that's inconsistent with their faith. It's inconsistent with biblical teachings.
Oh, okay. As long as they politely said that they wouldn't host the wedding or the reception or bring pizza. As long as they did that politely, because politeness is the core of your really high-quality bigotry. Yes. Polite.
Now, in response, the next day, Dick and Betty were sued. They spent many months in protracted litigation. They ended up having to write a $5,000 check to settle the matter, and they promised to never again host another wedding. Earlier this month, Dick and Betty went out of business. They laid off all of their employees.
I think he's going to cry.
How about that? They went out of business because they're bigots. They went out of business because they are prejudiced by their religious faith. Aw, too bad. There's that free market for you. A little bit of let me see what this is. A little something rolling in from Tim. Yeah. I didn't know a Berliner was a cream-filled donut. Huh. Tim notes, they hate the homos but love their money. I mean, the log cabin Republicans, God, that's such an oxymoron, are always invited to the RNC's conventions because they're the money people. Imagine the morons in the LGR wake up and turn to the left. I can now see it. LCR. Log cabin Republicans for Bernie. Especially after headline, no room for gay Republicans at Colorado Conservative Conference. Yeah. Ha. But so they had to close their business because they were bigots. Not because they were persecuted, but because they're bigots. And the market, I don't know, the free market, sometimes it doesn't like to support things like bigotry.
Dick and Betty were sued. They spent many months in protracted litigation. They ended up having to write a $5,000 check to settle the matter. And they promised to never again host another wedding.
How many times over do you suppose Dick and Betty have gotten back that $5,000 from Jeebus loving Republicans? How much did the crappy pizza makers in Indiana make? Nearly $1 million. And they didn't even refuse anybody. They just said they would for Jeebus. There's your prosperity gospel.
Earlier this month, Dick and Betty went out of business. They laid off all of their employees. They were out of business because they stood up and defended their faith. That's one example that this rally is all about.
But what about those who say, again, that the Republican Party and the GOP specifically does not like homosexuals, that you are anti-gay, and they see that as an assault? How do you bring the two of them together to allow religious liberty to exist and the people on the LGBT side to say that you're not against us, you don't hate us?
Well,
you really can't do that, Ed Berliner. That's a hard line too far. Mm-hmm. Because they interpret their holy book as teaching them and commanding them to hate.
You know, Ed, I'm a Christian, and Scripture commands Christians to love everybody. This is about...
Only sort of. This is where you'll get the love the sinner, hate the sin bull.
About whether the government is going to persecute people of faith for standing up to their faith. You know, an analogy that I used with Ms. Page today as we were flipping pork chops. I said, listen, imagine if this were inverted. Imagine if there were a gay florist. Now, I know that's hard to imagine a gay florist, but just go with the hypo for a second.
Oh, you smarmy prick. A gay florist. I know that's hard to imagine. Because he means the exact opposite of what he says. All, you know, all florists are gay. Bigoted for Jesus.
Second, imagine if two evangelical Christians came to a gay florist and they wanted to get married. And the florist said, you know what? I disagree with your faith. I have problems with your faith. You have no entitlement to force that gay florist to provide flowers at the Christian's wedding. We are a pluralistic nation that tolerates diversity. We don't have any right to force a Jewish rabbi to conduct a Christian wedding ceremony. We don't have any right to force a Muslim imam to conduct a Jewish wedding ceremony. And what we're seeing right now...
Which, incidentally, sort of takes all the air out of his attack on religious liberty argument, doesn't it? Didn't he just defeat his own argument? Because no one can force an evangelical fundamentalist, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, tongue-speaking, serpent-juggling preacher to perform a wedding for a gay couple either. Right? Right.
But they're the ones who are being persecuted.
Is this liberal fascism and intolerance, where their object is to persecute, to punish, to fine any Bible-following Christian or believer that believes in the biblical definition of marriage as the union of one man and one woman. And that is profoundly inconsistent with who we are as Americans.
Only problem being that that's not true. For instance, the much ballyhooed Christian bakers out in Oregon, they have been trumpeted all over the right wing sphere as some sort of martyred heroes to their faith, when in fact the reason they got fined as heavily as they did is because they doxed the complainants. It all would have been handled internally, except for the fact that the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, all-loving Christian bakers put the information all over Facebook and then used it to try to destroy the people that they had refused to serve in the first place in a state, to wit, namely Oregon, which has a human rights code that says you can't do that. So their problem arose from their most unchristian Christian behavior. Yeah, there's a big difference. And Canadian Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, he doesn't get it. There's a big difference between paying a fine for violating the law and being persecuted. Singled out. Can you even begin to imagine this megalomaniac with his butt in the seat of power? Can you imagine his masturbatory fantasies of theocracy? Nasty.
Can you do that, though, and make the gay community believe that you are not completely anti, that you don't hate them, and that you could still get their vote then? Because, let's face it, they believe that you hate them, and that's it.
Well, listen.
No, not yet. Because Steve in New York has a good point. He says, actually, subject line, gay florist. Actually, yeah, a gay florist would have to provide flowers to a fundy wedding. Yeah. Sure. Ron and Raleigh. Says, it seems to me that these folks were on the wrong side of the law. They can feel persecuted all they want, but they broke the goddamn law. F them. You know, that's part of civil disobedience. You break the law and you take your lumps. You understand that you're breaking the law. This isn't even that, though, is it? This is just whiny-ass Christian privilege. Jim, with a note, he says, if folks do not wish my presence, I have no desire to darken their door. I guess I will and wish to remain where I am, welcome with sincerity and not hypocrisy. That's just me and the way I was reared. No pushback there. But there are those in this country who would try to compel others to their beliefs. We have a history of it. There's even a Supreme Court case. What is it? Pinky Pig Pork Barbecue versus somebody, in which the owners of Pinky Pig Pork Barbecue in somewhere South Carolina argued to the Supreme Court that their religious beliefs forbade them from serving people with dark skin seated at tables in the restaurant. Now, they made clear that their religious beliefs allowed them to sell Pinky Pig Pork Barbecue out the back door to people of color, but that Jesus didn't want them sitting in the restaurant. And the Supreme Court laughed them out of the building, down the steps, and out into the middle of First Street in D.C. Because it's nothing more than an attempt to pervert religious teachings and use them as a buttress to hold up their filthy bigotry. And that's exactly where Ted Cruz is. Now Ted had a thought. Let's catch that.
They believe that you hate them, and that's it.
Well, listen, some activists do, and there's some activists who frankly manifest a hatred and intolerance for Christians, who are persecuting Christians. That is unfortunate. As I said, I think we should love everybody. But I'm a constitutionalist.
Oh, the hell you are. Did you hear that? Now, see, that's kind of subtle there, the way he twisted that. What are you going to do about the fact that LGBTQ people think you right-wingers hate them?
Well, maybe there are.
But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of activists out there who are persecuting Christians. Name one. Where? Where in this country? Where? Now, a couple of guys stomped the shit out of and urinated all over a man for being Hispanic in Boston. Sure, they were good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. That's true, but when's the last time you heard of priests being dragged out into the street and whipped? When's the last time a white mega church got burnt down? Huh? Never, right? Yeah. Now we have the story from the last year or so of how Kenneth Copeland's daughter's ministry managed to get a nice little mini epidemic going of whooping cough, wasn't it? Whooping cough, because she told her flock that Jeebus didn't want them to get vaccinated. But saying Christians are being persecuted is not the same thing as, you know, Christians being persecuted. You can look it up in history and see what persecution looks and sounds like. I mean, there were the early followers of Crestus, whom at the order of the Emperor Nero were impaled upon spits and rolled in pitch, and set alight to brighten things up in the Vatican Gardens. The gardens on Vatican Hill, one of the non-seven hills of Rome. It's across the Tiber. Mm-hmm. The slaughter of the Huguenots, as mentioned last night. Entire cultures, brilliant cultures, wiped out in the name of Christ. There's some persecution, burnings at the stake. God only knows how many thousands of women were burned in the name of Jesus as witches by
Holy Mother Church. But by God, if somebody sues someone for sues a Christian for their bigotry and violation of civil rights, well, there's your persecution. But I want to hear this. Ted's a constitutionalist. Yeah.
Because let's face it, they believe that you hate them and that's it.
Well, listen, some activists do, and there's some activists who frankly manifest a hatred and intolerance for Christians, who are persecuting Christians. That is unfortunate. As I said, I think we should love everybody. But I'm a constitutionalist. And the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the very first right protected in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights is religious liberty.
The only, and he makes it sound like that was especially on their mind. They put that first. No, you constitutionalist, you. If you actually knew anything about the Constitution, you would know that the amendments were just sort of thrown out there, and that happened to be the first one that got taken up for consideration. It could just as easily have been quartering soldiers in houses or being secure in one's person's papers and effects. Just worked out that way. Steve with a question. Which effing Christians am I persecuting? I thought there were hardly any gays. If so, how do we have all this power? Geez, Steve, I don't know. I mean, you cause earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes and stuff like that, and you're out there persecuting the pizza bakers and the cake bakers. Hell, I don't know how you got time to get to work. Marty noting, Bob, there's not enough 151 rum to put up with this nutter much further. And there's only a little bit left. So there we were, the First Amendment being first. Because he's a constitutionalist.
We're a nation, Ed, that was founded by men and women fleeing religious persecution and coming to a new land so every one of us could worship God with all of our hearts, minds, and souls.
After we got done killing all the indigenous people.
You know, on our website, tedcruz.org, we have a national petition that is up online from people all over this country who want to stand for religious liberty, to protect your religious liberty, my religious liberty, the right of every American.
And once the morons go and sign the petition, they'll be hit about three times a day with emails asking them, friend, can't you send $3 to help Ted Cruz, whose name, it's Ted, it's not Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. And no, he's never been anointed future king of America by his dad. No, that never happened, even if it did, because it did. But can't you send $3 to help us save religious liberty by making Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, Canadian-born anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, president of Merca? Can't you, friend? Can't you? Dummies.
To live according to our conscience and our faith. That has been the foundational right upon which this nation was built. And I, for one, am proud to stand with these heroes gathered tonight to defend religious liberty. And I'm glad so many people across the country are going to tedcruz.org, are signing that petition, are standing together as one.
All week long.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed Berliner. I don't know. I think Ted should stop treating the Constitution like an abusive spouse. He has to slap it around to show it how much he loves it. Hit it again, Ted, and put a little stank on it. Our buddy the Angry Indian asking, yeah, he caught that phrase too, liberal fascism.
Yeah.
Because those guys who invented fascism, they were a bunch of limp-wristed, panty-waisted liberals. You betcha. Angry says, "This is still Ted Cruz, right? Didn't anyone tell him that this is not a Christian nation and that religious matters are constitutionally banned in electoral and practical politics? Hey, you can tell him that, but he'll just think you're persecuting him. So that gives us a little insight into Randy Rogers, 8th grade math teacher at Oak Grove Middle School in Mississippi, Stan, and just how it would be that she could feel like she's being persecuted when she's proselytizing her captive classroom. Well, you can sit further away from the board if you don't like it. But it's still going to be there, you little heathen. Right. So here we are, 6 minutes past the hour. That's pretty much it for the filibobster this evening. Much more to come, including, if you wish, your calls. You're welcome to make them. You know the number, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN. That's the stress line, 304-663-4676. Oh, we've got a good crowd in the chat room this evening. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Doctor Who and Earther. Good evening, Jug of Punch and Mr. Gibson and retired Ray and Stockton Larry and Texas T and Tim from L.A. Anybody else want to jump in, you know how to do it. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and there you'll be. Yes, indeed. And, of course, as noted previously, the fundraising goal for this evening stands at $312.37. Mm-hmm. $312.37. And it has not moved. It's right where it is. Hopefully that'll change in the next hour and 52 minutes or so. It is Tuesday, so coming up, we have the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Always happy to have that on a Tuesday. And like I said, your calls. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. You know the other two numbers. Email bobkincaid@gmail.com, Bob Kincaid on Facebook, @BobKincaid on Twitter. A myriad of ways of reaching the program, and of course, we always welcome first-time callers, long-time callers. Everyone is welcome in this conversation. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
was the king of America, but it was just a boulevard of broken dreams, shrifted through with mirrors and with chemicals, the words of love and whispers and the acts of love and screams. I wish that I could push a button.
It's Tuesday, August 25, 2015.
Tonight, nearly 70 large wildfires are burning in the West.
Record wildfire season in the U.S. gets even worse.
In the history of keeping records of Earth's average temperatures, no month has ever been hotter than this past month. We did it.
Yay, us! Turns out July 2015 was the hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Scientists stumped over mysterious deaths of whales. Oil prices hit hard by China's stock crash. Plus,
it's an American energy revolution that's like evolving from the telegraph to the smartphone in less than a decade. It's happening fast.
Obama calls out the fossil fuel industry while supporting clean energy.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Remember, global warming is a hoax, easily disproven by the fact that it still sometimes snows in the winter. So pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data.
This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, how much longer can I move forward without noticing the Armageddon in the data?
That's a good question. No idea how long it's going to take Republicans to face up to the facts.
I suspect we may hit Armageddon long before they figure it out. What do you have for us in today's Green News Report?
Well, first, an update. Last week, we reported that July 2015 was the hottest July ever recorded. But wait, there's more.
Because as usual, you underplayed it.
Well, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration came in after our last report to announce that July was even more extraordinary than that. It was the hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth since record keeping began in the mid-1800s.
So it wasn't just the hottest July ever, it was the hottest month ever.
Ever.
And so far, this is shaping up to be the hottest year ever.
Ever.
And yet, Republicans still tell us that the globe is cooling and there's nothing to worry about here.
That's right.
What could possibly go wrong?
Meanwhile, as we've been reporting, record heat and drought are fueling a record wildfire season in the U.S. More than 65 major fires are now burning across 7 western states. Firefighting resources are stretched to the breaking point. The U.S. Forest Service over the weekend called on active duty U.S. military and firefighters from Australia and New Zealand to add to the more than 27,000 firefighters already deployed.
They're calling firefighters from New Zealand to come out?
Yes, they are. On Friday, President Obama declared a federal state of emergency for Washington State, where the Okanogan complex of wildfires is now the largest in Washington State history. It surpassed the state record set just last year. The record heat in the oceans off the coast of Washington may also be contributing to the mysterious deaths of about 30 whales that have washed up on Washington state beaches. Scientists say they do not know what is killing the whales, but some speculate that, quote, the unusual mortality event may be due to a record massive toxic algae bloom off the west coast that's been fueled by record warm ocean temperatures.
And we have these algae blooms all the time.
Right.
The difference is this is bigger and worse than anybody has ever seen it, I believe.
That's right. Meanwhile, the recent crash in global stock markets has hit the oil industry exceptionally hard. Energy industry analysts say the ongoing slowdown in China's manufacturing sector is reducing demand, and oil prices are likely to stay low because China is no longer buying up the glut of oil being produced around the world. Oil is now sticking at or below $40 a barrel, and the Washington Post reports that is hitting investment in dirty tar sands in Canada and shale oil in the U.S. because those sources are not profitable at lower oil prices.
Good for drivers, bad for investors. Even worse for the planet, I'm afraid.
The drop in oil prices also won't help folks in Oklahoma, which has broken its own record for earthquakes set just last year. The surge in earthquakes is thanks to the increase in fracking operations in Oklahoma. Last year, they had over 600 measurable earthquakes. This year, Oklahoma's already had more than that in less than 9 months.
So we're burning down the West, we're killing all the whales, and we're making earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Whole lot of shaking going on. Finally, President Obama called out the fossil fuel industry, the Koch brothers, and fossil fuel lobbyists on Monday for spending millions in trying to roll back the clean energy revolution in the U.S.
That's not the American way. That's not progress. That's not innovation. Ordinarily, these are groups that tout themselves as champions of the free market. But in this situation, they're trying to undermine competition in the marketplace and choke off consumer choice and threaten an industry that's churning out new jobs at a fast pace.
Obama was speaking at the annual Clean Energy Summit in Las Vegas on Monday. He announced some major new energy investments, including $1 billion for the Department of Energy to invest in new solar and a new program to help homeowners lower their electricity bills with energy efficiency upgrades.
So as it turns out, the free marketeers don't actually support the free market.
At least the fossil fuel free marketeers.
For much more on those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Download our reports anytime via iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And 19 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And, well, this is interesting. A couple of people, Robert and Angry Indian, have both pointed this out to me. Apparently, there's been a kerfuffle at a tea rump event. Let's check the audio from CBS and find out what's going on.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go ahead. No, you don't. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision. Go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million.
Go ahead.
From, you cannot deport 11 million people. You cannot build a 1900-foot wall. You cannot deny citizenship to children in this
Sit down,
country.
Please.
Idea,
you weren't called.
I'm a reporter and I have
Go.
You cannot touch me. I have the right to ask a question.
Yes, in order.
I have the right to ask a question.
Yes.
You got that? That is Univision anchor and reporter Jorge Ramos trying to ask a question of T-Rump, fascist, and he, well, you heard it. Sit down! Surprised he didn't call him, use one of those
lovely little epithets. Took place in Iowa. It was a press conference, but apparently if your name is Jorge Ramos, you're not right for the press conference. This is it. This is the beginning. That is straight up fascism. The disdain in his sit down. And you heard Mr. Ramos. He wasn't calling him a flaming bag of poo with like orange troll hair on top of it. He didn't know. How are you going to deport 13 million human beings? You can't build a wall around Merca. Get him out of here. So no, Mr. Ramos, you do not have a right to ask a question of the T-Rump, for he is all-powerful. Yeah. Go back to Univision. It's here. When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. It's here. It's here. They have their candidate, and they have their marching orders. It's here. Apparently, I wouldn't be surprised at all to find out that T-Rump thinks Jorge means rapist in Mexican. Let's take a little ride up to Detroit, a suburb of Detroit called Southfield. People woke up in Southfield to find that their neighborhood had been flyered with a paper, one of which shows a police officer wearing a KKK hood pointing a gun at the head of a black child. The black child's wearing a hoodie and holding a bag of candy. The flyers call on voters to get the blacks out by voting for white politicians this November. Another flyer has the faces of three white candidates and two white city officials. It says, let's get the blacks out of Southfield in November. One of the white candidates is mayoral candidate Kenson Siver. His picture is on the flyer. He says, we're not stupid as African Americans. We're not stupid. What does that even mean? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Siver. No. That's Damon Smith. He is an activist in the black community. He says, to throw this out, these people are racists. Don't vote for them. Number one thing, people who are racists aren't up-in-your-face racists. There's only so many, especially political people, so they're going to go behind the scenes. They're not going to say, I'm a racist, don't vote for me. Smith continued, there's always a mixture of Jewish, black, white people in this neighborhood. It's cowardly of them to use race to try to stir up any kind of hate, you know, among different races. You know, it's just cowardly. I wasn't raised like that. I have all type of nationalities in my family.
It begins. By the way, the cop with the Klan hood pointing the gun at the black child is standing in front of an American flag that has been blasted through to reveal the Confederate flag behind it. I don't know what that is. Is it agitprop? Is it reversed? Is it psyops? I don't know, but it's not good. Bad day today at the Chester County Justice Center in Pennsylvania. Curtis Smith of Coatesville, Pennsylvania, was arrested earlier this year for climbing a White House wall. Curtis Smith, age 34, is now dead at the Chester County Justice Center about 11 a.m. today. He used a knife and slashed a sheriff's deputy in the arm. Then a second sheriff's deputy drew his weapon and killed Smith. He was treated at the scene, later died at Paoli Hospital. Weird. He was arrested in March for climbing a stone wall at the outer perimeter of the White House. It's getting nasty in this country. Real nasty. Jim says, I only wish T-Rump was one of the dammit dolls with the fiber hair. Not so. He's real, and he's dangerous. As it would take a Wall Street crash to put him into the White House. Mark my words. Yeah. There is a dark undercurrent to the American body politic and if the market goes south, you might just be looking at the possibility of a President Trump. Michael in Madison says, wow, that was Jorge Ramos from Univision? I thought the voice sounded familiar, but figured, nah, just a random but brave activist. Score one for an attempt at journalism. Question. Why didn't Trump punch him in the face or have someone else do the fighting for him like he promised? Or was that promise only for black women? Sounded to me like Ramos got his question and his point across, even with T-Rump talking over him by T-Rump's own criteria. Doesn't that make Trump look weak? Well, yeah, he is, and he is weak. There's nothing but a spoiled, whiny child behind all that bluster and bravado. That's what it's there for. It's insulation. Yeah, but see, Trump would only punch black women in the face. And by the way, the Dow Jones dropped 200 points again today. Thanks, Randy, for pointing that out. There is, by the way, a challenge on the table. You may recall that We started the evening at 312.37. Carol has kindly reduced that to 292.25. Thank you. And there is a challenge on the table to the tune of $49.82. Yes, $49.82, because everybody loves to hear me do my ciphering. And so hopefully that challenge will be matched. Your $49.82 can become $89.82. Right? Yeah. No. $99.64. There we go. If you will match the challenge that is on the table. Robert informing me that in the Jorge Ramos incident, he got to come back and Trump, and he and Trump got into it over immigration. Well, that might be interesting. I'll have to check that out. It's nasty. Nasty. Out there. And going to get worse. Make no mistake. Although there is some good news. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Toward the end of the program last night, we discussed the Napa Valley wine train. Remember, they threw a group of African-American women off the train for being too loud and laughing too much and having too much fun, because apparently that destroys the ambiance for the white folks on the train. And along the way, they slimed. They slimed the ladies in the group. And, well, they've had a day to think about it, and they've thought better of their actions, the Napa Valley wine train. When things began to happen like, Latino folks saying, you know, we got thrown off the wine train, too. Mm-hmm. I sense a pattern emerging. Now that one of the ladies from the book club, it was a book club, for God's sakes, one of the ladies from the book club got hold of a lawyer, and they said, listen, get that stuff off your Facebook page or we'll sue. Because it turns out that what the Napa Valley wine train put up online just wasn't true. Accusing them of verbal and physical abuse. Now the Napa Valley wine train says, that wasn't accurate. But they only righted the wrong after they, Lisa Johnson, one of the people kicked off the train, was the one who got in touch with a lawyer. And over the Napa Valley wine train, well, the top executive of the Napa Valley wine train contacted a predominantly African-American woman's book club and apologized for the removal of 11 of its members from one of its trains after several passengers complained the group's loudness was negatively impacting their experience. The Napa Valley wine train was 100% wrong in its handling of this issue, said Wine Train Chief Executive Officer Anthony Tony Giaccio. We accept full responsibility for our failures and for the chain of events that led to this regrettable treatment of our guests. Giaccio said he had a conversation with Lisa Johnson, a leader of the Sisters on the Reading Edge Book Club, who complained on social media about the removal of 11 book club members from the wine train on Saturday, August 22nd, after other train passengers complained about the loudness of the group. Giaccio said he contacted Ms. Johnson late Monday, August 24th, and apologized for the book club's experience, pledging to learn from the incident and offering additional diversity training for employees and inviting the club members, their family and friends, to be his guests and fill an entire train car. Giaccio wrote an apology letter to the club saying, "I want to apologize for your experience on the Napa Valley wine train on Saturday, August 22nd. We accept full responsibility for our failures and the entire chain of unfortunate events you experienced. Clearly, we knew in advance when we booked your party that you would be loud, fun, loving, and boisterous because you told us during the booking process that you wanted a place where your club could enjoy each other's company. Somehow that vital information never made it to the appropriate channels, and we failed to seat your group where you can enjoy yourself properly and alert our trained staff that they should expect a particularly vibrant group." The hell does that... "We were insensitive when we asked you to depart our train by marching you down the aisle past all the other passengers. While that was the safest route for disembarking, it showed a lack of sensitivity on our part that I did not fully conceive of until you explained the humiliation of the experience and how it impacted you and your fellow book club members." Man, this is quite the mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, isn't it? "We also erred by placing an inaccurate post on our Facebook site that was not reflective of what actually occurred. In the haste to respond to criticism and news inquiries, we made a bad situation worse by rushing to answer questions on social media. We quickly removed the inaccurate post, but the harm was done by our erroneous post. In summary, we are acutely insensitive to you and the members of the book club. Please accept my apologies for our many mistakes and failures. We pride ourselves on our hospitality and our desire to please our guests on the Napa Valley wine train. In this instance, we failed in every measure of the meaning of good service, respect, and hospitality." "I appreciate your recommendation that our staff, which I believe to be among the best, could use additional cultural diversity and sensitivity training. I pledge to make sure that occurs, and I plan to participate myself. As I offered in my conversation with you today, please accept my personal apologies for your experience and the experience of the book club members. I would like to invite you and other members to return, plus 39 other guests. You can fill an entire car of 50 as my personal guests in a reserved car where you can enjoy yourselves as loudly as you desire. I want to conclude again by offering my apologies for your terrible experience." What's this with the loudly? Is it the Hard of Hearing book club? "You want some more wine? Yeah, I'm doing fine." So, but did you get that? "Yes, we're going to put you in your very own car where nobody else will have to be around you." They will get, that's exactly right, Earther, in the chat room. They'll get their very own separate but equal train car. Nice. Yeah, I wonder if Mr. Giaccio maybe has an ancestor named Ferguson. Plessy versus Ferguson. Mm-hmm. What a country! What a country! Irish Dave, wait just a gall darn minute! Isn't the Napa Valley home to the Gallo brothers? Why, yes, as a matter of fact. Irish Dave also tells me my ciphering has a good beat. The kids can dance to it. Michael and Madison with a P.S. follow-up on the Jorge Ramos story. Ramos. Before you told us that was Jorge Ramos, I figured Trump's go-back-to Univision jab was just a racist remark. But hell, even though Ramos is from Univision, and there's nothing racist about pointing that out, doesn't Trump sound uber-racist when he says that? You could just hear the blood dripping from his teeth or his wherever. Ooh, nice. From his ear, eyes, nose, it's wherever, yeah. Go back to Univision? Mm-hmm. And, of course, Univision, I'm sure T-Rump is thoroughly convinced, is in somewhere in Mexico. So at least there's a little bit of justice for the book club ladies from the wine train. But seriously, I guess this is an issue. Slate has the story. The wine train thing happened to another group of passengers, this time Latino. Mm-hmm. Norma Ruiz, graduate student at University of California, San Francisco's nursing program, was having her 28th birthday party in April when a patron approached her party of 10 people on the train to say they were being annoying and loud. She said, we were kind of taken by surprise because we were just celebrating my birthday, having normal conversation. A waiter told her group to continue their celebration, and they moved to the dining car on their own. Then a woman from the train company approached their party, which at this point had quieted down to below the noise level of the dining car, and told them if they didn't control their level of noise, they would be kicked off the train. We weren't making any noise. We felt very uncomfortable the way we were being approached, and they were embarrassing our group in front of everyone. The group was made up of entirely of Latino individuals. Most of them were Cal Berkeley grads. She said, I think that it was just that person complaining, and then the manager seeing that we were Latino basically decided to discriminate against us because we were Latinos in a group. Now that I hear about this event with a group of African-American ladies being kicked out of the train, I'm seeing a pattern. I'm realizing that how I was treated was not normal. No kidding. By the way, that story, the thing I read earlier about the mea culpa, that was by a guy named Sam Singer, and Sam Singer is his job is described as a crisis communications specialist. He told Slate, the Napa Valley Wine Train is open to anybody of any persuasion, any color, any day of the week. He did say that about once a month, they throw people off the train because they are, because of behavior that affects the experience of other passengers. It shouldn't be this difficult, should it? No. Mm-mm. Meanwhile, from Napa to Kansas-stan, the Wichita Eagle reporting that there is a full-on hissy going on in Chanute, Chanute, Kansas. Maybe it's Canute. Royster Middle School in Canute. At Royster Middle School, a print of the painting by Warner Salmon, The Head of Christ, This is the nice white blonde of Apollonian Jesus. You've seen it. You can look up Walter Salmon, S-A-L-L-M-A-N, Head of Christ. It's been hanging in Royster Middle School for decades. Canute, Kansas is populated by 9,200 souls. Those 9,200 souls are served by 30 churches. The Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to school superintendent Richard Profitt. No, really. P-R-O-F-F-I-T-T. They sent a letter saying, you know, it's a public school, and the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment really says you're not supposed to be hanging Jesus paintings in public schools. And he said, we were notified and we responded to stay in compliance. Over at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Ryan Jane said, it's nice to have people who appreciate the law and get things done and who follow the law, even if it's likely to be unpopular in the community. They had to get involved with that school system last year when the Gideons were out passing out Bibles on school property. And the Gideons are now banned from doing so. But the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, strychnine swigging, serpent-handling, tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, the Christians are in an uproar. Erica Seamy, who attended Royster Middle School a decade ago, said, oh man, it's getting bad. That's what's wrong with this world. Not enough people have Christ in their lives. Oh dear, here it comes. 22-year-old fur trapper. No, that's a real occupation there in Canute, Kansas. 22-year-old fur trapper Cody Busby said, nobody else in the school seemed to be bothered by it. There were only one or two evolution kids, and they didn't seem to be bothered by it. With all the bullying that goes on in schools and how all the kids divide up into cliques, I think Jesus being there didn't hurt a thing. Only Jesus wasn't there. That's just a picture of some white guy with long hair and a beard. It's a picture of a hippie. Nobody knows what Jesus looked like. He was probably about 5'1", real, real curly black hair, real, real curly black beard, dark complexion. You know, in other words, he looks like one of the terrorists that the right wing is so worried about. Samantha Barnhart is upset. She said, "If you have the right not to participate, we have the right to keep our picture up. Just don't look at it." Yeah, just sit further from the prayer request board, because the prayer request board's not going anywhere. Son of a gun. I thought I had at least one chance of getting it right out of Canute or... No. It's Chanute. You'll have that. I should know better by now. Hey, here's a fun little moment in our increasingly technologically invaded world. Mm-hmm. Reuters has the report, the story of Charlie Miller, who used to work for the National Security Agency, one of Agent Fred's buddies. And he is what is described as one of the world's best-known security experts. And he's lately been working at Twitter and just quit his job. He's an engineer, and he quit his engineering job at Twitter, Inc. after 3 years. Having just hacked into a moving Jeep as it drove on the highway. Chrysler Jeep, Fiat Chrysler automobiles have subsequently recalled a bunch of vehicles because their in-car computers are wirelessly hackable. Twitter took a hit today, along with the rest of the stock market. They set a record low since their initial public offering in 2013. They still don't have a permanent chief executive officer. And from IPO 2013 to the present, their share price is down 40%. But yeah, hackable automobiles. That could be a little disturbing, couldn't it? Dangerous, even. And you wonder how many people will actually go get the recall done. Note from Tim in L.A. What is it with conservatives and racism? Even the Asians are shitted on. Yeah, this is from last night. Jeb Bush says Anchor Baby's comment was more related to Asians. Yeah, no one, Tim's right. No one's immune. Not from a right winger. No. subject line: Wine Train. Oh, you're banging on all eight this evening, Michael. Michael in Madison says, "Man, after hearing that Wine Train apology, I'm very proud to be a beer snob, and I think I'll just stay that way. That apology was just a shitload more whining about the group's volume, nothing more. You should have read it through clenched teeth with a stick up your butt snobby accent. And don't get me started on their separate but equal train car offer." What a bunch of bullshit. And when the non-apologists said they should have been better prepared, they should have better prepared their staff to expect a more vibrant group, what sense of the word was intended? Because I'm thinking they're trying to be too clever by half. Racist clever. Yeah, it was glowing with it, I thought, Michael. And you told us you were a vibrant group, And we knew you were a vibrant group, and we should have had a better place for you to be vibrantly vibrant in, you know, if we understand what vibrant means. And I think we all know what vibrant means in this context. I mean, you know, vibrant, spelled B-L-A-C-K, vibrant. For some reason, this struck a chord with people. Irish Dave, that would be a separate but equal trip on the Napa Valley Wine Train then? Absolutely. Were they offended by the open carrying of cell phones? By the way, I know some black women that the bald ego would be well advised not to be punching in the face, talking about T-Rump, unless he really wants to have that Merkin bitch slapped right off his face. The Plessy car at the back of the train? Yes, that car. Oh. Interesting. Apparently, Chrysler is not the only one with potential hack problems. Randy says, purportedly, hackers might be able to get into cars through GM's installed OnStar system. I've had trouble with my 2005 Subaru when near one nearby cell phone tower. And, of course, if you recall, the one of the favorite films of this radio network is Idiocracy. And in that film, the government shuts the car down when they're trying to make their escape, and then sends in cops to blow it all to hell. So it's about 3 minutes before the hour. We've got $292.25 to go in fundraising for the evening, and a $49.82 challenge on the table, an offer to match the next $49.82 that comes in. That would be most helpful. Let's see. Oh, I think we've got lots of potential here. We'll take a break and come back to your calls or further filibobstering. It's entirely up to you. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. Fire up the phone lines. Don't wait till the end of the program. That's awfully frustrating. I'm Bob.
Summer's day, when I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass. I lay there in the sun and felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep and dreamed. I dreamed I was in a Hollywood movie, that I was the star of the movie. This really blew my mind, the fact that me, an overfed, long-haired, leaping gnome, should be the star of a Hollywood movie. But there I was. I was taken to a place, the Hall of the Mountain King. I stood high upon a mountaintop, naked to the world, in front of every kind of girl. There was long ones, tall ones, short ones, brown ones, black ones, round ones, big ones, crazy ones. Something crazy, she said. Glass. She poured poured some of the wine from bottle into the glass and raised it to her lips. And just before she drank it, she said, "Take the wine, take that girl. Take 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 that girl. Yeah, it's all yours. You gotta do it. Spill that wine. Spill that wine. Let me feel. Let me feel my best. Oh, oh, oh. Spill the wine, 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 spill the wine. Take that girl."
War. Spill the wine. Because bumpers matter. This is the Horn Titanic Tuesday for the 25th day of August 2015. And lo and behold, yea, verily, and forsooth, it's the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man, what's going on?
I don't know. How about you?
Trying to figure out if I'm going to be safe by the time 2016 rolls around.
And here I am all shiny and white. I'm worried.
Well, you're not safe either. What makes you think they're not going to come after you?
No, I mean, when the fascists decide to start gut stomping, it really is equal opportunity, isn't it?
You know, I mean, they're going to come after anybody that doesn't agree with them. You know, that one person who says, are we really doing the right thing? I mean, I'm white and all, and I like being white, and I'm proud of being white, but do we really have to kill everybody? Yeah, they'll hang that person. You know, as counter-revolutionary, as a traitor. Look, I mean, if you go on my Twitter feed right now, you'll see people who are trying to defend to me using everything fucking possible on why Trump is not a racist, that, you know, those of us that are criticizing him are the real bigots. He just kicked out George Ramos, which is the most fucking important Spanish language goddamn broadcaster on both continents.
Yeah, isn't he like the Walter Cronkite of Spanish language news?
Bigger. In the Latino community, regardless of where you're from, if you speak Spanish, George Ramos, if he sneezes, everybody says, you know, salute. The fact that he did that was not accidental. It was not stupid. It was not by chance. He made a point. I don't give a fuck about what you goddamn Mexicans have to say. Get the fuck out of here. You know, when Pappy Bush used to kick reporters out of his press conferences, you know, people thought it was funny. And he was allowed to do this. He kicked, what, two, if not three reporters out of his press. He would say, "You, who are you? What is your name? What paper do you work for?" And he would have the Secret Service, you know, have that person escorted out of the press room. So, you know, we're not surprised by Republicans doing this. You know, they demanded that Bill Clinton, and we can talk about, you know, what was fucked up about Bill Clinton all day. He's one of theirs. He just happens to have a Democratic Party card. But he's a conservative, goddamn moderate fucking Republican. And they expected him to stand there and, you know, talk about his penis and whether or not he fucked this one or whether or not this one gave him a blowjob. Did it happen? You know, was she on her knees? Was she standing up? Were you sitting? You know, was it in the Oval Office? What part of the Oval Office? He was supposed to stand there and basically be pissed on about this. While these fuckers have rent boys and women and entire fucking families and shit that they're covering up and child molestation and all of that, you know, Ashley Madison, this big scandal's just come out. You know, there's nothing that will embarrass the goddamn Republicans. Or the conservatives. So you have Josh Duggar and his fucking freak family. You have conservatives, you know, defending him. You have Ted Cruz talking about who belongs in the country and who doesn't when he's not even fucking from here. He's dragging religion into politics when that's against the fucking law. The media is allowing him to do this.
You mean that little clause in the Constitution that says there shall be no religious test for public office?
Yeah, we're the oath keepers when it comes to that shit.
Oh, that's one of the oaths they don't keep.
Yeah, you know, no, they're picking and choosing.
They're cafeteria oath keepers, eh?
No, well, they're no different than any other religious fucking fascist nutcase. You pick and choose what the fuck you want. You know, or you can be like Hitler and totally rewrite history, right?
Yeah.
You know, but come up with your own Annenberger and shit and you know, create a whole new motherfucking, you know, dynasty and dynamic and have it lead straight to whoever the fuck is in charge. Yeah, you know, we can do that. And obviously that's what's being done. You know, I mean, it gets a bit redundant. We've talked about this before. There's a few people who are talking about this. We've seen this goddamn show before. Trump is out here saying that, you know, it's you know, I have passionate followers. And when they beat the shit out of a Mexican homeless guy and piss on him, well, hey, you know, they're passionate. When somebody yells white power at one of my fucking rallies, my campaign manager will go on mainstream media and say, look, people like our message. But then when David Duke says something, and Andrew Anglin from the Daily Storm, a fucking neo-Nazi, and Stormfront say that they're supporting Donald Trump. Well, we're not supposed to hold that against Trump. That doesn't have anything to do with his message. He's out here saying that Mexicans don't that they're not fucking human beings. He doesn't want black people counting his fucking money. Black people are lazy, right? You know, and like you said earlier, here it is. Now Asians are being brought into this. They thought they were fucking immune.
Yeah, but and but isn't it just ironically, lovely, angry that Jebbia is the one who brings the Asians into the equation.
Well, he has to do something because his wife is Mexicano. He's got, you know, half Mexican kids. This is their language. He's got half Mexican kids, right? This is their language. So, you know, he's trying to get the fucking Latino vote. He's been doing bilingual fucking events. They're not really working. Because, you know, everybody realizes that he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, the only people that he's really attracting are that I'm throwing this out there, like 5 to 6%, maybe even 8% of Mexican, not even necessarily immigrants, just of the Mexican population that is extremely ultra-conservative, that is extremely religious. They don't, you know, they're like a lot of West Indians, you know, on the East Coast. If you don't have three jobs and a part-time job on top of that, you're lazy. You know, they don't believe in relaxation. You know, they don't believe in having a day off and shit. You see a lot of the men, they sit there, their hands are trembling because they're not working. They don't know what else to do. They've been so programmed to be out there either in the fucking field or in the goddamn factory or at the lathe. They have no real conception. And this is not an insult. This is an observation. They have no conception that, you know, there's something more to fucking working for some fucking buddy else. And just saying that you have a goddamn job and you have a few hundred dollars in the bank because they're working all this much and they don't have anything to fucking show for. And here comes Trump, you know, with the little bit of representation that they have. And I'm talking about the snobs now, right? That 1% that is really more than 1% of the Latino community that somehow feels like a lot of people in the black community that they're somehow above the fray. That somehow because they have all these jobs and they're doing okay right now and they got a kid in college and they got a house that Trump is going to, you know, somehow help them, that if they kiss enough fucking white ass, basically, that they'll get a little bit more in this country.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah,
that's what Jeb Bush is going for.
Yeah, that they'll be somehow insulated, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like you see a lot of these black people, like that woman who went on the goddamn YouTube. And then went back on YouTube to say, well, people are not calling me a race traitor. Well, let me see. You're sitting here blaming black people for fucking racist police brutality. Yeah, I'm pretty much saying you're a fucking race traitor, because how the hell could you sit around, be black, be in the fucking country, be born and raised here, and somehow think that, oh, if everybody had a job and everybody was just in school, that everything would work out. Well, that's actually not a fucking bad thing. But here's the fucking problem none of these goddamn people point out. White people have been trying to prevent us from having basic fucking jobs ever since Reconstruction. They came up with slave lease to make sure that we still work for fucking free. You have a county in Louisiana. I can't remember the name of it, but it's in a documentary called Les Least Kin. You can go on YouTube and find it, I suppose, if you're really looking for it. And the school administrator, this is about a great-grandmother who's doing her best to try to get her great-grandkids into some sort of formal education, because they've been living in the backwoods of some parish back there where slavery didn't officially stop until 1978. You have black people that didn't know that they were free. No TV, no radio, no newspapers. They were working for fucking free, Brother Bob. Okay, And, you know, you got people out here who don't fucking understand or don't want to fucking understand how the country got to fucking be like this. They think that, oh, it's just goddamn laziness. That's a fucking lie. We've been prevented from fucking working. We've been prevented from going to fucking schools. We've been prevented from going to white churches. Oh, well, the black church is racist. Why? Because there's a black church. Well, were white people allowing black people into churches back then?
No, there's a reason.
No.
The Southern Baptist Church is the Southern Baptist Church.
Yeah. You know, my family was Methodist, right? So, motherfucker, they were not welcome into those goddamn churches. But it was racist when the AME came around. It was racist.
Well, I mean, I know it's not exact. You know, it's not up there with being shot dead in the street or anything. But this stupid Napa wine train story. Because the whole idea. I mean, that whole mea culpa that I read was come up with in consultation with a crisis communications expert. And the crisis communications expert offered the women a separate but equal train car, oblivious to the historical knee slapper he just committed.
Well, sometimes it really is ignorance, and a lot of times it's really just stupidity. And you know, a lot of times people just don't give a fuck. I mean, the thing about Trump is, he's not attracting the people who don't give a fuck. He's attracting the white people who have been looking for this type of an Ayatollah for a long time. And when you have folks, you know, the only reason we even know about a lot of these goddamn cases, including this train fiasco, is because of the internet. Because before that, it took a little bit longer for news to get by. Now everything is instantaneous. So, you know, I don't know exactly what happened. I'm going to be frank with you. I haven't really read into the story. But the only reason that I believe, and this is just a knee-jerk analysis, that, you know, the whole idea of the angry black female is a real thing. And there's a reason for why that exists. So, you know, the whole idea of a bunch of loud black women on a train being kicked off, you know, that bugs a lot of fucking people because this happened to black people simply for being black. I have to admit this. We're very emotional, and when I say emotion, I mean we express it. If we like you, you know. If we don't like you, you know. And when we enjoy ourselves and have a good time, we can be pretty loud. But that is something, and this might sound stupid, but you know, it might be part of our fucking DNA. That's just the way that we react to things. Now, were they really being too loud? I don't know. I wasn't there. But you know, the way that this is being handled, but the
dowdy white woman who said, you know, this isn't a bar.
Well, see, yeah, that's where it comes from because, you know, she was starting to make an assumption, you know, well, because you have to ask yourself, I've been on public transportation and I've been on commuter transportation. There have been drunk businessmen who's decided to moon the entire fucking, you know, car, right? Because he just made a hell of a fucking lot on some stock shit. I'm sitting there with the woman I was with at the time, and I'm like, what the fuck? And somebody said, oh, he's just drunk. He did really well today. You know, the market was really good today, right? There was another situation I can think of with six girls. You know, well, not girls. I mean, you know, young women. They were out. It was a Saturday night. They were drinking. They were really fucking loud, and people were annoyed. I don't remember anybody getting them kicked off the fucking train.
No, but this isn't just, you know, this isn't the train from Napa to Sacramento or something. This is, you know, this is a tourist thing.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, you know, there's white linen tablecloths angry, damn it. I mean, there's standards of conduct and behavior. But now it turns out they threw a group of Latino women off of the train too.
Uh-huh. Well, see, and then here, this is, again, where I was coming to with this. It only takes one person to start this type of shit, to say that I'm offended. It doesn't have to be the entire car, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a point where they can't, like, the staff can't be heard or people can't have conversations. I've been kicked out of restaurants, not necessarily for being loud, because I was having a conversation with several people, and this white person didn't like what we were talking about. Now, that's not the exact reason why we were kicked out. We got kicked out because I'm like, well, look, you know, you're trying to have us kicked out over this. We're not talking to you. We're not even raising our voices. And she says, well, I really think what you're talking about is hateful. I'm like, we're talking about police brutality. Well, according to you, all the police are violent racists. And it's like, so you've been basically eavesdropping on the entire fucking conversation.
Right.
So you've been, you know, you've injected yourself into this. And now you're trying to fucking basically use your fucking power and get us kicked out. So now by this point, voices are being raised. And we did get kicked out. But the bottom line is, you have, you know, look, it's always been like this, but it hasn't been to the point where people felt that they had license to come out and say these fucking things. When those two brothers beat the shit out of that man in Boston, they had the nerve to tell. And I'm going to tell you something else. I was telling my wife the other night that motherfucking it gets me that the police in the articles that I read that supposedly they were afraid of these two fucking brothers, that they were trying to keep them away from them in the fucking lockup, that they were intimidated by these two.
Well, they got them into the sneezer. And then we have to be careful here because there's brothers and then there's brothers. These are two brothers by birth, white guys. They got them into the sneezer and they immediately started pissing on the cell bars.
And threatening the cops.
And the cops were afraid.
And the cops were, they told the press that they were afraid. And nobody was tased. Nobody was shot. Nobody's
well, see,
in the
fucking
hospital.
The police will, how to put this? The police will prophylactically shoot a black guy. Okay? Because they know there's a pretty good chance he's unarmed. And they'll get away with it. The same cannot be said of white folks. White folks will raise a stink. And white folks are, generally speaking, I think, more dangerous. Witness the case of the Louisiana State Trooper from over the weekend who died yesterday. Dude, I mean, and this guy looks like something out of a horror movie. The killer does. Skinheaded, old guy, craggy features. He's about as white as Quan Chi from Mortal Kombat X. And the cop walks up. The truck's over in a ditch. The cop walks up. The guy reaches over, gets a sawed-off shotgun, and blows the state trooper's head off. And that's pretty much the story, and that can be anywhere in America, because all the guns that we have in this country that are held by the freedom protectors, most of them are white folks, because I mean in the firearms in the black community are more largely understood to be. This is going to be this can be trouble for us, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. They know who to fuck with and who they don't. I mean, it's kind of like when you look at the Salem witch trials and shit that went on here. You know, that they came in. I mean, it's almost the same fucking thing. You know, if you don't support us, you support the devil. And, you know, if we don't like you, you support the devil. And if we want to take your farm or your livestock, or your wife, you support the devil, you know, all this type of shit. And they kept going until they finally accused the governor's wife, the governor of the colony. So that put a stop to every goddamn thing. And then they admitted that these fucking girls were full of shit and that they got a bunch of fucking people killed. But the way that they got out of it was they said, well, hey, you know, the devil fooled us and made us overzealous, and that's why this happened. They actually blamed the cause in which
right,
they created.
Right, sure, and that's the that's the first draft of Josh Duggar's Ashley Madison explanation. The devil built a fortress in my heart. He said that, and then it gets edited on round two.
Oh, I'm laughing my ass off.
It was funny when Flip Wilson would holler, "The devil made me do it." But now it's an affirmative defense in the evangelical community.
Yeah, it's been a defense in evangelical. Come on, remember, my father hated Jimmy Swaggart. My natural father. He hated Jimmy Swaggart. And I remember asking him. He didn't like any of the moral majority motherfuckers, but he really had a thing for Jimmy Swaggart. And I'm like, why? And he reminds me of those crackers I had to deal with in South Carolina. He goes, you know, that motherfucker will sit up there and talk shit about black people all goddamn day long, and then you catch him in a fucking car at midnight with a black woman, you know, and a fucking bottle of Jim Beam. You know, this is what my dad used to say, right? And, you know, the main reason I found out later on was that he couldn't stand Jimmy Swaggart because he came back from South Africa. He did a evangelical tour over there and came back and said that South Africa was a great country and that, you know, the United States should be more like South Africa and the United States should be supporting South Africa more because they got a right idea on how to run the country. And, you know, all his other moral bullshit, this, that, and the other. And then he got caught doing what he did. What did he say? His wife was sitting right up there with a pink Bible on her lap. He said that I sinned and the devil made me do it. What can I do? You have the other motherfucker, Jim Baker. He's back in the goddamn news. He's trying to make a comeback. The devil made him do it. The devil made him.
He's selling potato soup. No, he's selling potato soup buckets, Angry. We had that last week or week before.
Hey, potato soup. My mother used to get pudding, the anointed cloths.
Pudding in a bucket. He's got pudding in a bucket.
Pudding in a bucket. Is it blessed?
You damn right it is.
Man, before my mother used to go gamble on the illegal numbers, man, she used to, because she'd go play her Belita, she would show me these different rags that she got, not from Reverend Al, the,
Reverend Ike? Sharp.
No. She didn't trust Reverend Ike. We watched him on TV when we lived in Jersey. But she never sent him money. There was another cat, I think he was from Ohio. She sent, all Roberts, like every other Indian in the country, sends all Roberts money. And she used to send this guy Reverend Al money. He would send her anointed cloths and pieces of wood that had, Hebrew scratched into it. And she'd put that on the door and all this. And every time she gambled and hit, she'd say, yeah, you know, look, you know, this is proof. And it's really hard to deal with people who don't want to see that they put themselves in their own position sometimes, that, you know, the system is corrupt. And it's corrupt because of people, not because of spirits and all this type of bullshit. And yeah, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is pulling on these religious, you know, strings because he's got nothing else. Trump has no program. Cruz has no program. Scott Walker's
I gotta take issue with you there. Trump has a program. He just most of the American people are too dim to realize it, and half of the ones who recognize it don't want to say it for fear it'll screw it up. His program is right. Straight up fascism.
Well, you're right, but remember, we've talked about this before. The Satanist, how can I forget this goddamn guy's name? He's a colonel in the U.S. fucking army. He's probably retired now, but he used to run a group out of San Francisco called the Temple of Set. Michael Aquino, Colonel Michael Aquino, right? He used to work in psyops and all that kind of shit. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a real thing. You can look him up. He wrote about this, and he was an excellent fucking writer. I have to admit that. I read a lot of his shit. And he said, you know, when fascism comes to the United States, it's not going to be wearing a swastika armband, a Nazi swastika armband, and talk about, you know, killing Jews. It's going to be talking about 1776, walking around with a business attaché, you know, and talking about, you know, the American businessman. And that's exactly – in that sense, you're totally right, Bob. In that sense, you told
me. Well, I mean, the reason I mentioned that is I got a story right here where I said a minute ago, half of the people are afraid to say it because they're afraid it'll screw it up.
Screw it up, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but some people are speaking up. Enter stage right, David Duke.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that this morning in my coffee.
Yeah, David Duke has said of T-Rump, I praise the fact that he's come out on the immigration issue, that he's an entrepreneur and he has a good sense of what people want to hear and what they want to buy. And I think he realizes that his path to popularity toward power in the Republican Party is talking about the immigration issue. And he's really said some incredibly great things recently. So whatever his motivation, I don't give a damn. I really like the fact that he's speaking out on this greatest immediate threat to the American people. I've said from the beginning, I think his campaign is good in the sense that it's bringing these issues to a discussion which we have to have in America, and he's continuing to move the envelope further, and I think he understands the real sentiment of America.
Well, look, David Duke at one time has supported Charles Barron, who was he, a councilman? He's got some kind of, or had some kind of political seat in New York City. Very bombastic, very out there. Herman Daughtry. They were out there part of the Sharpton thing. Lester Maddox, and then not Lester Maddox, Elton Maddox, the lawyer, not exactly somebody I would go out of my way to support, right? But Duke came out and supported him a few years back in his council running seat because the man that he was running against, who I think was black, African, whatever, was a pro-Zionist, and Barron is not. He's just the opposite. You know, he supports Palestinian rights and shit. And he has a lot to say about New York politics, which does involve a lot with the Jewish community in terms of lobbying. Well, David Duke came out and supported him because he, you know, is anti-Zionist. But, you know, Barron was kind of clear. He's like, the only reason he's coming out, you know, to support me is because he's a Jew hater. It's not because he gives a fuck about black people or thinks I actually have anything to say. He just doesn't like Jews. So he's trying to back me, and this motherfucker is a complete fool. I don't accept his goddamn endorsement. He's a fucking, he's a neo-Nazi. Fuck him, right? I haven't heard a word like that from Bush or his fucking campaign manager. They haven't, you know, said anything about David Duke. They haven't said anything about white power being shot at his goddamn thing over there to say people like our message. This is where you're completely right. What is the message? And see, a mainstream media will not motherfucking ask him that because, as you pointed out, expertly pointed out, I might add, Brother Bob, if they talk about it too much, they might fuck it up. They might fuck it up.
This is their grand, this is their grand opportunity. And I mean, I think a lot of us have wondered, you know, over on the right wing evangelical side, they wonder who the Antichrist is. Is he here now? When's he going to reveal himself? What was it, 2009, when that survey was done of New Jersey households, where some extraordinary percentage of respondents said they weren't sure whether Barack Obama was the Antichrist?
Hey, you mean it was just Jersey?
Yeah, this was just Jersey. But I think we can extrapolate rather broadly, can't we?
Yeah,
on our side, we wonder sometimes how, you know, based on that, what I've repeated several times lately, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible. What's that really going to look like? Well, here in 2015, we see their faces. And their faces are Mike Huckabee and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. And most particularly, Donald J. Trump, millionaire, who owns a mansion and a yacht. Okay? This, he in particular, I mean, when you see him with his arms crossed and that downturned, self-satisfied scowl on his face, He looks, he's morphing into Mussolini before our very eyes. And yet nobody in the for-profit media will say it.
Well, because we've been saying this, and like I said, when I mentioned, you know, certain things, yeah, I'm making generalizations, but if the vast majority of white people were against, if they were truly against this type of rhetoric, if they were truly against this type of violence, which has already happened, you know, I mean, what else has to happen? What else does he need to say before they're like, oh, wow, he's really serious? You know, we have to fucking be honest about something here, black, white, and otherwise. And now that they're going after Asians, who like I said, you know, the majority of Asians that I know, even those that are progressive, they really thought they were above that shit until this morning. Now they're like, oh, wow, now they're coming after us. And it's like, well, fuck it. You know, why didn't you say something when they were saying shit about Mexicans? Well, I did. I'm like, you didn't say a fucking thing. You didn't say a goddamn thing to me. But now, you know, all afternoon, I had to hear this today from my Filipino, Chinese, and Taiwanese pals who are like, yo, man, did you know that Jeb Bush is saying this shit? I'm like, I've been telling you this. You just found out. You
right, because somebody else was getting well, it's the old Jerry Clower joke. You know, somebody got to have some relief. And so as long as T-Rump's going after the Mexicans, the Asian community could sit back and say, well, at least it ain't us.
At least it's not us, which is what they've been doing for a hell of a long time. And I'm not to say that individuals within the Asian community
No. But, I mean, we all do it. We all do it. I mean, I do it out of fun sometimes on this program when we'll have some horrifying story about incest or dumbass right winger, and it's in Alabama or Tennessee or Arkansas. Sorry, Haley. But I go, well, hey, West Virginia's getting some relief. Because for once, we're not in the crop. Well, that's a terrible. We're not the ones that the laser beam focuses on.
Oh, Rick Perry must be saying that shit to himself right now. You know, Rick Perry must be saying, fuck, they're not looking at Texas. Whew. You know, but it's just a matter of fucking time before something happens in Texas again.
But so, you know, Trump got this started with his comment about Mexican rapists. And So meanwhile, Black Lives Matters is out. Matter is out there going, "Hey, hello! They're killing us in the streets." And what does he say? "Oh, I'd punch them in the face." Look, or maybe I'd have somebody punch him in the face.
He's picking fights, and now Bush has dragged Asians into this. So black folks, Mexicans, Asians. Now, no one's mentioned Native Americans specifically, probably because they're not even thinking about us. But that's a matter of goddamn time, too, right? Immigrants.
Well, wherever it is that the right-wing cranky white people are, they will find a target.
Yep.
And there will be right-wing media there to make sure they pick the right target.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And so if you've got... If it's the Vietnamese community in Houston, you're up. If it's the Somali population in Minneapolis, you're up. Because wherever there are right wingers, there is hate, and the hate will always be directed at the weakest and least able to defend themselves. That is in the essential nature of fascism, Angry.
Oh, I write about it all the time. Trust me, I know. I mean, when I see Piyush Jindal and his wife brandishing their hunting rifles and assault rifles on Instagram, you know, people in India knew exactly what he was trying to do. You're not trying to protect yourself with a firearm. You're trying to protect yourself from the bigots who really is not even about voting. You're worried about your own fucking safety and about whether or not they're going to come after
your skin. So you're hide.
You're trying to join the pack and just, you know, try to become invisible. But see, you have that type, and then the Nikki Haley's, right, and the Michelle Malkins and whatever. And then you have the Alan West types and the Ben Carsons who actually want to lead the crowd. They want to lead the racists. They want to show them that they can motherfucking, you know, be a perfect white man in black skin. The human fucking lawn jockeys. When has Ben Carson come out and said a goddamn thing about what Trump has been saying? He's been supporting what Trump has been saying. Ted Cruz is a Cuban. He's been supporting what the fuck he's been saying about Latinos. Marco Rubio, whose family did not run from fucking Cuba, who left Cuba on their own fucking accord.
Okay? Long before Castro.
Long before Castro. Under the goddamn dictator, that lying son of a bitch. He's been supporting fucking Trump too. So, you know... somebody was idiot on Twitter talking about, well, if a Mexican calls another Mexican whatever, well, you know, it's not racism, or they're all Mexican. It's like, are you a fucking idiot? Are you really a fucking idiot? Ted Cruz is Latino. Marco Rubio are Latino. But white Cubans, I'm saying this because I have to fucking deal with different fucking people. White Cubans think that they're better than other fucking Latinos. I don't know why. I don't know why. You know, the same thing in goddamn Venezuela. The white Castellano Venezuelans, the Croatian Venezuelans, the Italian Venezuelans, they believe that they're better than other Spanish-speaking people. The darker you are, the fucking worse you are. I just looked at a study that said if you're an immigrant going anywhere in the world, not just the United States, anywhere in Europe, anywhere in Asia, anywhere in the Americas, the darker you are as a male, the less likely you're going to find work. Whereas they don't do the same thing to dark-skinned women. You know, that they somewhat get a pass for that. They can find certain jobs. They're limited, but they can find certain jobs. But the darker you are, the worse you're fucking treated. So, you know, when it comes to Latinos and racism, you know, a lot of black people in this country are under a misillusion that somehow if there's more Spanish-speaking people in the United States that the racism is going to level out, which shows how little they actually know about Latino culture and shows how ignorant they are of the racism that happens in Mexico and further south. To black people and Indian people in these countries. You know, I mean, there's more Africans in Brazil, which completely shocked George W. Bush, who said out loud, you know, while Condoleezza Rice was standing there, to the fucking president of Brazil, while he's shaking his hand, "Wow, I didn't know you had so many black people in this country." And, the president backed away from him. Rice had to intervene and say, well, you know, there's actually, Mr. President, there's more, you know, there were more slaves brought to South America, then were brought to the Americas, and he was like, we know nothing about different cultures.
No. We are so ignorant of, well, I make a joke out of it, but to Trump and to a vast swath plurality of ignorant, mostly white America, Mexico is, or everything south of the Rio Grande is Mexico. It's kind of like being down south, and they say, "What do you want to drink?" You say, and they say, "You say Coke," and they say, "What kind?" Because it's all Coke. Okay?
It's all Coke, yeah.
It's all Mexico. You know, Guatemala is Mexico. Panama is Mexico. Chile, Argentina, Tierra del Fuego is Mexico to these ignorant freaks.
Brother Bob, I got into an argument with a coworker one time, and I'm talking about a real fucking argument, because I was talking to somebody. It wasn't a conversation that he was involved in, but he injected himself. And it's like, man, every time I hear you talking about politics or about society, how fucked up thing, you don't know any real knowledge. You don't know any goddamn thing, right? Blue collar. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, man, you know, you don't know, you know who won the World Series this year. You know, he really said this. He goes, you don't know anything about, you know, some rap star, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is coming from a fucking guy who told me a week ago that there's a bridge between, or who thought that there was a bridge between the United States and Mexico. He thought that Mexico was separated from the continental United States by water. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. You don't even know where the fuck you are in the world. You know, and you're really fucking trying to tell me. You know, this is who Trump is appealing to. This is who the GOP is appealing to. Ever since Ronald Reagan came around, the GOP hasn't been worth spit. It hasn't been worth a goddamn fucking thing. Eisenhower type, you know, no, that's gone.
Been gone.
Even go.
No, Nixon's Republican Party. Shit. Gone. Reagan's,
you know,
Republican Party. No, neither,
Nixon
and neither could Reagan.
Today.
And I bear no love for either.
No, and I hated Goldwater, but fucking at least you knew what you were getting. He was honest. He was honest with you. And he could actually fucking, you know, have a goddamn debate and explain his fucking position. You didn't have to agree with it, but at least he could explain his fucking stuff, and then you could tell him where the fuck he was wrong. You know, and that bullshit is gone now. It's gone. It's gone. The Democrats are loaded with people who don't know what the fuck to do. They're afraid to fucking not support Hillary Clinton. You know, they're getting angry with people who want to support Bernie Sanders and shit. Well, he's a socialist. And?
Oh,
you know,
God,
has,
I know.
Has Vermont crashed? You know, what the fuck are you talking about? Let's look at Texas and Wisconsin. Let's look at fucking Florida. You know, and Trump has never had political office anywhere. He's got no legal fucking degree. He has no experience in any goddamn thing, and other than being a vulture.
No. His greatest experience with the law is in what? How many? Half a dozen bankruptcies?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot of bankruptcies. Because I remember, because I wrote two pieces sometime back on Michael Milken. And I wrote them because there were folks who were saying to me, in the business community now, when I used to kind of work there, who were like, hey, you know, it's really sad, you know, people are taking up a collection. I'm like, you know, for what? And he's like, oh, you know, Michael Milken, you know, the junk bond. I'm like, the junk bond trade. He goes, yeah, him. Well, you know, he's got cancer, man, and, you know, it's pretty bad, and, you know, people are taking a collection. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're asking me for money for Michael Milken? And he goes, well, he's a businessman, and he's falling on hard times. I'm like, a businessman? I said, that motherfucker caused people to commit suicide and murder. He made people homeless. He ruined entire fucking companies and entire families. Are you fucking kidding me? You got to be kidding me. And he was like, okay, man, you know, you just have to say no. And I'm like, nah, man, get the fuck out of my cubicle. You got to be fucking kidding me. You know, where are people coming from with a lot of this bullshit? I don't know. But we're supporting people who don't need our fucking help, who are vultures, vampires, bloodsuckers, whatever, you know, term you want to use.
Yeah.
And you got folks out here who are busting their ass in their local communities, like you, like Judy Barry, right? Like the people who we don't know what their names are from Black Lives Matter. The people that we don't know who their names are from the Occupy movement. People who we don't know their names because motherfuckers don't want to know their goddamn names. So they're trying to do something about the missing and murdered indigenous women on the Canadian-U.S. border and the motherfucking Mexican-U.S. border. You got a lot of people out here doing some damn good fucking work, and you can't find out about them unless you're hunting around on the internet. But we've been hearing about Trump and his bullshit and Ben Carson and his bullshit, because I don't even believe that nonsense that Trump is really factually running fucking things. I mean, it might be true to some degree, because there's a lot of people coming in and showing up. because they basically want to see a fucking floor show. These people are not real goddamn voters. The majority of fucking conservatives in this country, and you and I, Bob, both know this, they don't fucking vote. They do not include themselves in the electoral process, and they don't understand fucking politics. They don't even understand their own fucking local politics. You know, just for fun, ask them how their local representatives voted on any major motherfucking initiative and see if they can even, you know, name you one goddamn representative from their district, let alone knowing how the fuck they vote. It's a, you know, we're saying that things have gotten dumbed down, but things have been like this for quite a while. When Ronald Reagan was in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and started talking all that shit about black welfare mothers and we got to make America great again because obviously it
boring in America, yeah.
You know, because Trump's saying the same thing. If I ever had the chance to interview that motherfucker who's running around calling himself his campaign manager, you know, I'd ask him straight out. What the fuck is it that you guys supposedly really goddamn represent? What are you about? And you're saying that America's bad. You know, we have to make America great again. When hasn't it
been? When was it great?
You know, I've been hearing that shit
when
my
did
entire
it,
fucking
when did
life.
It stop being great?
God damn, man. No, see, their whole thing is unless there's a white flag in every fucking country in the goddamn world and everybody is bowing to the fucking U.S., literally. Because that's the main fucking thing that is causing a lot of this fucking white backlash, this white racism, white panic, I call it, or Caucasian panic. What's causing this bullshit is when you argue with these motherfuckers long enough, Bob, their thing is people are not kissing our asses like they used to. You know, white men, and I was a little boy, I remember this. A white man would walk into a room, everybody used to just look at him. You know, we always just stare at him. Like you know, somebody golden came in the fucking room.
Hey, I gotta ask you a question.
Goddamn land.
You may be a little more, and maybe there are others out there. Michael and Madison might know. Are you familiar with a white rapper by the name of Yella Wolf? That's Y-E-L-A Wolf. Yella Wolf.
No.
I'm
not into rap, and white rappers. I don't know. It's hard for me to take a lot of them seriously.
No, I know. Well, he's from Alabama. He's 35 years old.
And he's rapping.
Okay. And he's upset. Now, I got to share this with you just because, I mean, you don't get word salad of this quality just every day.
Oh, man, sounds bad.
So there's a black and white photograph of him wearing a white T-shirt with a burning Confederate flag, or somebody wearing a burning Confederate flag. And he posts on Facebook, Yella Wolf does, and what a name, "Ain't no way I'm letting someone's ignorance tear me from my roots. You fucking fuck boys can save it with this anti-Dixie shit. You media succubus in fashion and news are taking full advantage of yourself's business. Not knowing at all the damage you're creating by giving a false impression of who we are in the South, we're, all caps, good people, lots of exclamation points. We love our small towns and we love our folks. For me and me only, I'll tell you like this, R.I.P. Dimebag Darrell, and long live Pantera, long live Lynyrd Skynyrd, long live Dukes of Hazzard, and motherfucker, the Dixie will never die, all caps, exclamation points. Do you want me to mention my black inspirations on the Dixie side, like Big Gip, who I saw in a full Dixie flag outfit at Madison Square Garden in 05, or Andre 3000 rocking a Dixie flag belt buckle in Sorry, Ms. Jackson, maybe Little John or Pastor Troy, who rocked the Dixie flag in protest against ignorance. I saw the growth and the power, not the demise. And here we have these fucking yuppies from the West Coast and worldwide jumping on this bandwagon who know nothing about us other than the movies and, I get, well, you know, and Dukes of Hazzard, misrepresented newsreels they see, lied to T-O-O at school and at home, further deepening the injury of social perception, with this whack-ass image of a burning Dixie flag. Fuck that. Well, I can tell you that a Slummerican, which he's got as a hashtag, apparently that means something, S-L-U-M-E-R-I-C-A-N, will never support you. We're beyond you all, more open and way more prepared than you are. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, all caps, Dixie, lots of exclamation points, hashtag Slummerican.
And he's 35.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot I can say about this. First off, Andre 3000 is a motherfucking clown. So, you know, raising him doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. The first cat that he mentioned, I don't even know who the fuck that is. And don't give a shit if he's going to wear a Confederate fucking flag. You know, Conway West tried that bullshit. And he tried to take, you know, this black skinhead thing because obviously somebody gave him a little bit of an education. And he realized that the original skinheads in England were black. All right, so evidently he learned that, and he's trying to come up with something new and innovative, and it completely fell the fuck apart. All right? So he could mention a few of these people, but, you know, a rapper who listens to Lynyrd Skynyrd and Pantera, I don't know how to process that.
Well, you know, I mean, you really can't until you've unscrewed the bottle of unscrewed the lid on the Mad Dog. Well, let's just for the hell of it. I got a video here from him. Let's listen to a few lines from American You by Yellow Wolf, shall we? Oh, God.
Man, you got it all worked out, don't you? Old pair of shoes. Never wear your heart on your sleeve, cause it don't go with the suit. And you got a bad, bad woman with a young little pretty face. They told you not to go get married, but you went and did it anyway. Singing, oh, sweet sounds of American you. Never miss.
Okay, so it's not terrible. It doesn't, I mean.
It's not rap either.
It ain't rap. One of our music, our modern music consultants, Michael in Madison, says, heard of him. Don't think I've ever actually heard him. I'm happy to keep it that way. Sorry, I ruined that for you, Michael. I do enjoy hip hop, but I prefer my rappers, you know, literate. Call me crazy. I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fuck him. You know, that bullshit, it's already been established, and, you know, it's really stupid to even have to fucking talk about this, but the fact is the mainstream media, and I get tired of saying mainstream media, but the MSN has not discussed this. Media Matters has, Democracy Now! Has, we have, Malloy has, right? Fucking Dr. John has, right? You know, William T. Thompson, who fucking the co-creator of the goddamn stainless banner, the flag in which the Confederate fucking bullshit is based on, said, look, this is about the white man being superior. That is what this fucking flag represents. And for those who keep doubting this bullshit, they can look at the goddamn, because I've tweeted it several fucking times, the goddamn Articles of Secession with the state of South Carolina, they said, we want to do to these niggas what the fuck we want to do. Who the fuck are you to tell us to do this shit? Fuck you. If I got to pay these motherfuckers, I'll go broke. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know,
the single largest concentration of liquid wealth in the South before 1860 was in human beings.
Beings. So, you know,
the richest people in America were people who owned lots of human beings.
You know, and I'm going to say this again, too. Germany had it fucking right. You do not allow fucking traitors and bastards and fascists in your country to legally fly their fucking flag, okay? That's why they use the Confederate fucking flag, because they know what it stands for. They know what it stands for better than this motherfucker, Yellow Wolf, or whoever the fuck he is. He knows what this shit is about. What he's saying is, I'm a white man, I'm gonna cop this rap bullshit like Kid Rock, who's also fucking, oh, I want somebody to come and take this flag off me. Man, go into a motherfucking black neighborhood with one, a real one. Go to South fucking Compton. Go to Gary, Indiana.
Oh, and then of course there's the straight out of Compton hissy, and
oh, they can kiss my ass with that shit too, because I don't give a fuck about that. You know, he's gonna bring up some, you know, what's happening. Oh, this is real. This is the street. But he's also part of the reason why this shit got worse. He's part of the reason why it got fucking worse. I don't want to fucking hear it. The Crips and Bloods is a goddamn civil war that's been going on in the black community for more than three fucking decades. And he's been documenting it, but he hasn't been doing anything to fucking stop it. So, that you know, that bullshit on the Chronic, that first fucking album of his, first off, it musically doesn't mean all that goddamn much to me. I'm going to be fucking honest about that. But yeah, I did listen to it, and I tried to fucking dissect it. And I didn't get one goddamn ounce of positive any motherfucking thing out of it, other than the streets are goddamn bad, we're black, they treat us bad, and these streets are horrible, man, and hopefully I survive this shit. There's nothing progressive about that. And so he's come out with this, and Michelle Malkin has had something to say, because she just has to have something to say. I'm sure Ann Coulter has something to fucking say. And they can say whatever the fuck they want. Next year, the rappers will still be talking about the fucking album, but the shit going on in Compton is still going to fucking be there. And none of these fucking rappers have really done a goddamn thing about it other than to fucking try to make money off of it. And the fucking white people that they really are making money for, because you and I both know how the music business works. I knew people that were in that shit. The artists, if they're making $5 million, what is the company fucking getting?
Oh, the company's making a ton.
So, you know, they're out here talking about shooting brothers and selling dope and all women are bitches and shit. And I'm going to get mine before you get me and all this type of shit. It's pure 100% capitalism. So I don't know why anybody's complaining about hip hop. It's 100% everything Donald Trump is motherfucking promoting. You know, it's all the shit. They call each other nigga, too. And if you ask them why, they want to fucking fight you over it. Because they've been so fucking conditioned to like, oh, well, I'm not a black man. I'm a nigga. I have people who are making that fucking argument to me every goddamn week. The country is off the fucking rails, and it's off the fucking rails because of goddamn capitalism. Make a fucking buck any way you can fucking do it. And these same goddamn bastards. That
yeah,
are
and
about
I'm sorry.
I've
said it before. I'll say it again. I hate that word. I cringe every time I hear that word.
Which one?
With the two G's, the E, the R, the I, and the N that isn't ginger.
Go ahead.
I was raised to despise that word. It is in my DNA to hate that word. And I can't, there's no way I will ever be comfortable with that word. And it is such a marker of oppression. I guess I understand the theory angry behind, trying to resurrect it and take away its sting. But it won't for me, and probably for a lot of progressives of my generation, it won't. That word can't be cleaned up, and we cringe whether the mouth speaking using the word is white or black.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, Eazy-E came when they came out, you know, Niggas with Attitude, and he was asked in Spin and in Rolling Stone, why are you using niggers? Well, we spelled it differently, you know, to mean something else. That was just a whole lot of bullshit. They knew that saying niggas, you know, out of Compton, out of the hood, whatever the fuck it was going to be provocative. And they came up with a bullshit motherfucking way to explain this fucking shit away. And they created a fucking monster. They created a fucking monster.
And I'm not alone in this. I just had a note from Steve in New York. He said, I hear kids call each other that word here in New York City, and I cringe, too. I mean, it sold records. It has bought mansions, that word.
Yeah, so why would they stop? Just because, you know, so some people are getting killed?
Hello,
you know,
capitalism!
In the process it is.
Yeah, hello, capitalism.
They don't care. They literally
and then you know the white folks who want to use the word ache to use the word itch to use the word. Well, they get to use it. Why can't we see what this political correctness is doing to America?
Yeah, but it's just like that bigot I was arguing with on Twitter. You're complaining about the conditions that you motherfucking are trying to defend. You know, it's like the activist Sean King. He's been going through a whole lot of bullshit right now because they're trying to say that he's really not black, that he's really white. But these are the same people that uphold the one drop rule.
Right. And see, that's a function of privilege. White people want to hang on to their perceived privilege to be the official declarants of who is and isn't white.
Well,
and the Sean King thing just beats the daylights out of me because they're saying, well, he can't possibly speak up for the black community because he's partially white. I'm like, yeah, but entirely human.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, under their rules, under their fucking rules, the 1%, the one drop shit, he's black. He's black. All right? They're fucking hypocrites. They're coming up with anything they can pull out of their rectums, Brother Bob, to fucking negate this shit. I'm not the racist you are. They take everything the fucking left uses and they revert it. They just regurgitate it. They revert it and they regurgitate it. Now, you know, racism against whites is a civil rights issue. Maybe in South Africa. Not here. Not yet. Wait a little while and then you might actually have a motherfucking argument, okay? But not here. Not now. You know, that's just crazy. And really, like I said earlier about the Latino community, if they're going to come in here with the same sort of fucking racial hierarchy that they have in Mexico and further south, then white power isn't going away. It's just changing tone.
Well, and that really is a conversation for another day, and I want us to get into it. Because there's one thing that within my little cynical worldview that says that the nature of power in a capitalist system is such that it's just a matter of, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you see, and I worry about this. I'm not worried because America is becoming a browner country. I think that's the way it ought to be. We started out a brown freaking hemisphere. It's nature returning to its, water seeking its own level. But the thing that worries me is that, as this country becomes browner, it's going to be the same power struggle. The poor people are still going to be the poor people, and the wealth are still going to do to the poor what the wealthy always do.
Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Piyush Jindal, Nikki Haley, and Barack Obama, General Colin Powell explains my goddamn point. Barack Obama was considered the right person because he was half white and his father was not a black American. Because he couldn't say the slavery bit. His family owned slaves. And when he was told this, not that he didn't know any goddamn way, but when a reporter asked him this, he just shrugged his shoulders and said, well, that's the American story. He didn't give a fuck. He hasn't said anything about, the history of slavery and how this shit has damaged us. I just read a report. My wife and I sat here and we read this shit 3 times. And she's not political on how, people who are the later generations of those who suffered the Holocaust in Europe are still suffering trauma.
Yeah.
But black and native people have been saying this shit for more than 3 fucking decades. And we get laughed at. That's not an excuse for stealing a car. That's not an excuse for being a fucking drunk Indian, right? But with this, the same goddamn white people are now talking about, oh, wow, and I understand why Moshe's the way he is, even though he's never been to Israel and he has no recollection of his grandparents, great-grandparents. He can't even tell you what camp they were in. But he's suffering. He's suffering. And now I understand this. But it's like with me, though. Oh, well, I don't understand why you take this shit such to heart, Abby. I mean, come on, man. That was a long time ago. And, you had a couple of bad experiences. But, I mean, you survived it. You're still here. You've had an okay career for a little while. Why can't you let it go? See, that's a dichotomy.
Yeah. Oh, no. But that's what power wants everybody who has been disempowered and disenfranchised and abused and oppressed to do. We got to just let it go. Why? Exactly. Hey, Bob, why do you have to dwell on what the coal company did to your family 100 years ago? Let it go, man.
Shit, tell that to the Irish.
Yeah, exactly.
Let it go.
Hey, we got to
the Zionists.
Right, let it go. Yeah, we got to get out of here, Angry. It's been a magnificent conversation, though. I really appreciate it.
All right, hey, people, do what you can and keep this man on the air, and please help him get this equipment that he needs so that we can hear this man from coast to coast. All right, Brother Bob, peace.
Peace. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. Time to get out of here. Quick note, I like to share these things when we get word from folks. Got a couple of minutes. We'll just go a little overtime. But a note coming in from Bermuda Sand. I know that I'm supposed to use correct spelling and grammar, but not tonight. Subject line, Trump. I can't take this jackass anymore. What the hell's wrong with this man? Are the reporters afraid of Trump? Yes, they are. No follow-up, because the Des Moines Register was banned from the press conference today, too, not just Jorge Ramos. No follow-up questions. Sorry to say, the whole world's looking and laughing. I was at the hospital a couple of weeks ago. Trump was on spewing his crap. Everyone in the waiting room was shaking their heads and laughing uncontrollably. All said Trump is not a well man and needs some type of mental help. What's up with Fox not broadcasting town hall meeting with their hero? How come all of a sudden the illegals are in Ferguson, Chicago, and Baltimore? What the hell's happening to Morning Joe? Are they masturbating just at the mention of Trump's name? Yes. It's been a couple of years since I last wrote you, but I listen every night. Please say hello to the listening audience and keep it real, everyone. Many thanks, Bermuda Sand. Thanks, Bermuda. Good to hear from you. Good indeed. And I want to thank Frank and Thomas for matching the $49.82 challenge and then some. And also, I want to send out thanks to Mark. Mark, between Frank and Thomas and Carol and Ron and let's see, Carol, Ron, Frank, Thomas, Mark, we have only $65.59 to be completely caught up, which is awesome. So have a wonderful evening, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for keeping it all going. We'll be back together for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow evening. Good night, y'all.